And welcome to the show. I'm your host, Tomer Klein, host of the Blue Collar Jew, the show where we push back on all these lies that are in our world and we challenge the narratives. And today's show, I'm going to go over some of the narratives. You know, a lot of times when I'm out with customers out and about, out in the field, they'll ask me, they'll say, why are Jews so liberal? Well, that's a narrative, and that's a narrative that should be challenged, because the truth is, we're not that liberal. You ask any religious Orthodox Jew across the world, and many of us would probably be more right-wing than even some of your modern-day, woke right characters that are rising in the ranks. And some of these great rabbis of our time, one of them I have on the phone, who's a dear friend and a dear influence in my life throughout the years, one of these rabbis is Rav Avigdor Miller, who was born in 1908, was there in occupied Nazi Germany, died in 2001. He was a very well-known American rabbi who played a key role in shaping modern Orthodox Jewish thought. In 1981, he made the following statement as a response to a question. 45 years, we can see the accuracy of his precise observation. America today is in great danger. And I do not say it's something that we can always say. Nor it's not what is always easy to say. There is an adversarial attitude being taught in the colleges. The youth are being taught to hate America, to hate authority, to hate police, to hate anything that's the establishment, and to fight the establishment. What that means is they do not know what they are talking about, but they want to hate anything of authority. We're in great danger because of these wicked people. They study on our campuses and are going to be judges and college professors in the year to come. And that's the thing. If you look at any Jew who is an Orthodox Jew and follows the proper laws of halacha by Jewish law, that's what it is. It is authority. It is rules. It's guidelines. One of the great things, my personal rabbi, personal friend, who's on the line, he always told me since day one, you have to have structure, and most importantly, you have to have consistency to have any success in life. And as of now, we are seeing across the board, across all demographics, even affecting to a degree in our society as well, in the Orthodox Jewish world, that without this success, or without this consistency, you won't have the success. And today I want to introduce everybody, Rabbi Menachem Levine. He lives in Chicago, Illinois. And Rabbi, take it away.
Pleasure to be here, Tomer. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Okay. Looking forward to having a good conversation about important topics.
Yes. So today, a lot of times, what's your thoughts when you hear people say, why are Jews so liberal? The first thing that comes to mind when I hear that is they just don't know, because many of us are actually quieter. I mean, we have the Ben Shapiro's, and some of the newer, like the Mark Levin's, but Jewish thought has been in American history since its founding, even right. In the last many decades since there was mass migration into the United States. The Roy Cohens, you had Murray Rothbard, and many, many others. Alan Greenspan. We've always been very, very important in everyday American society with thoughts, with building, economics. Also, when you think about, moral codes, much of American society reflects that of Jewish society as well. What's your thoughts?
Sure. Well, I mean, here's the thing. First of all, I think it's an important question. I'm not sure your full audience, but obviously we're on a more conservative radio show, which is great. Mm-hmm. Let's just backtrack for a second. If you go to Israel, so we'll leave America, and we'll swing back to America for a second. Israel is conservative, or it's right-wing, whatever you would like to call it, by 80-20. The divide in Israel is not about political conservatism. Overwhelmingly, the elections since the past 25 years, since the Second Intifada, the right wing always wins. Even today, the divide in Israel is not, and this upcoming election is not going to be right left. It's right versus right. It's really pro Netanyahu or anti Netanyahu. Israel is overwhelmingly conservative. The percent of Orthodox Jews or those who practice Orthodoxy is way higher than America. So it's nothing intrinsic about Jews. That's number one, right? Mm. Israel, the joke always is that Israel is a red state and American Jewry is a blue state. But even in American Jewry, those who are, overwhelmingly liberal are really that for two reasons. Reason number one is historic. America, Jews who came to America, especially in the most recent past, were coming from really whether it was the right reactionary, I mean, these emancipation freed Jews from essentially being indentured servants without rights in Europe until the early 19th century, till Napoleon. Essentially, Jews had no rights throughout Eastern and Western Europe. Napoleon started the process in Western Europe. Jews couldn't vote. Jews couldn't be property owners. Jews were not were banned from many professions. And historically, those were old school regimes that kept the Jews basically impoverished in many of these countries and without rights. So when he left those, and the at that point, the more liberal type of people in Europe were the ones trying to, you know, knock down the old system, which, you know, which I think even most of us today would say had a lot of issues. So they associated that. But I think today, you know, in America, the reality is it has nothing to do with that. And the reason, the divide between those Jews who are A, conservative, vote Republican, and not is simply are not whether you're Jewish, but whether you know Judaism. Jews who are secular, who have very little knowledge of the Torah or of Jewish values or of Jewish knowledge, they have one command in their mind, Tikkun Olam, which literally means to save the world. But imagine this, you try to save the world without knowing how to save it. So many of them, I can give you a whole list of them, of very misguided Jews. I put top three on the list, George Soros, Bernie Sanders, you know, Noam Chomsky, these people who hate Israel, hate most of Jewish values, happen to be Jews, but they know nothing. Whereas the Orthodox Jews are overwhelmingly conservative, and the reason they are overwhelmingly conservative is, first of all, they're literate in their Judaism, okay? They live Judaism. They know what the Torah says, okay? The Orthodox Jews are overwhelmingly pro-American. You just read a quote by Rabbi Miller lamenting that in colleges, in 1981, lamenting that these colleges are telling people, the Jewish students, to hate America, to hate what we stand for, to be anti-police. And what he lamented in 1981 is, these students, many of them in Ivy League universities, you know, Tom, right? I went to an Ivy League law school, you know, between rabbinic school and becoming a rabbi now, running schools, is, you know, I experienced this firsthand. They do not look at this country as something to be proud of, many of them, not all. We're very pro-Israel. We believe in security, okay? Mm-hmm. Police, we appreciate that. School choice. You know, the liberal Jews would never want that. So Orthodox Jews overwhelmingly are, you know, conservative, and we are actually the fastest growing part of the Jewish people. So I don't think it's anything intrinsic to Jews. We're really talking about Jews who have little Jewish knowledge, some carrying historic baggage, but most of them are just liberal. They're living Jews who happen to be living and being brainwashed in the rest, with the rest of that liberal society. But it's nothing intrinsic, and Israel's the biggest proof of that. Israel's overwhelmingly conservative, and any Jew who, you know, really follows Judaism, not is born Jewish, but follows Judaism, will very likely have many conservative views and overwhelmingly be voting, you know, for Republican and for conservative issues.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I have... you know, I meet a lot of customers out in the field, and one of them yesterday, last night, you know, I got a middle of the night call, went out. He's a Jewish guy, okay. And he had some Hebrew school, some teaching, and, you know, he's not so religious now, not so connected, but those core values, you know, he was a listener of the station, but those core values stick with you. You know, it can take many generations. I can't remember the saying, but they said, you show me a Jew who's religious, and after a couple, and if he, the moment that a Jew is separated from Yiddishkeit, from being a Jew, on a religious and spiritual level, he tends to do the complete opposite, like a midah keneged midah, like a measure for measure kind of thought process. And the moment that you step away from these types of roots, we tend to go completely in the opposite direction, like in a hard left, you know, instead of, it's almost like a pushback against the narrative.
The you know, I'm sure you've said it before, you know, but you always hear it. that when you're younger, if you're not a liberal, you have no heart. If you're when you're older, if you're a liberal, you have no brain. So there is a bleeding heart reality to some of the liberal ideas. But at the bottom line is they have no boundaries, and there's not really a right and wrong. It's interesting. We live in a world today, and a lot of anti-Semitism is caused by this, the intersectionality. And intersectionality, basically, it has no right or wrong. It means it's basically if you're the underdog, you're right because you're the underdog. Why you're the underdog, why this is happening to you, it's relevant. If you the fact that a person can murder someone, be a criminal, be a terrorist, be Palestinian terrorists, if they're the underdog, we support them. Right? If it does, you know, so that there is something nice about favoring people who are down and out, right? There's something very admirable about that, but not if it's not the wrong thing. And basically a lot of these Jews or any liberals, you know, a lot of them just have no concept of right or wrong. Everything's moral relativism.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you kind of see what's going on with this Clancy case with the woman who strangled
her.
Crazy. The public opinion is dictating the outcome. It's pretty obvious at this point because everybody plays on these emotions. And I'm all for, like, we know chesed is a big thing. Charity and kindness is a big thing within our people. One of the things that people don't quite understand is, like, when you look at the early days of, like, when socialism was becoming a thing, I think many of it was modeled off of the Chesed foundations that were within our community in Central and Eastern Europe. It's just that it went completely the other direction. You still, you know, like Rav Avigdor Miller said, you know, you can't just let somebody be on welfare and basically become addicted to it because their lives will just go nowhere.
Right. No, it's again, there's no boundaries. There's no right and wrong. It's just it's an unbridled kindness. Actually, you know, it's very interesting. If you look at the Torah, you look at the Bible, incest between a brother and sister is called the same word you just used, chesed, right? It's unbridled kindness. It means you need a brother and a sister. They want to connect, but that's not acceptable.
Interesting.
So the reality is of life is people could be attracted to liberal ideas. They sound nice. Right, being kind to this lady who murdered her three children, but that's cruelty.
Rabbi, after the break, let's hold this thought. We're going to come back right after the break because this is an important thing. Choosing a new HVAC system is one of the biggest investments you'll make in your home, and it should last 15 years or more. Don't be misled by companies that say 11 years is average. That's right around when the manufacturer warranty runs out. You deserve better than that. At Klein Heating and Cooling, we walk you through every step, the proper install costs, the breakdown of your new system, a plan tailored specifically for your home and your comfort. No surprises, no added cost, your trusted professionals with you every step of the way. Visit KleinHeatingCooling.com. No job is too big or too small. From routine service to a full new installation, call Klein Heating and Cooling today at 602-377-6520. That's 602-377-6520. Or visit us online at KleinHeatingCooling.com. Klein Heating and Cooling, your comfort done right. And welcome back to the show. Today I have a special guest in with me. And right before the break, we were talking about boundaries. Everything is boundaries. In Yiddishkeit, in Jewish thought, Jewish law, we have boundaries. Rabbi, in between the break, we also brought up a good point on how when we're reading the Torah, correct, there's pauses in between. Right. And right before the break, we had a pause. So we'll jump in where we were left off at because we had some deeper conversation. Take it away.
Right. Actually, as I said, though, the reason that the Bible, the Torah, has pauses is that she was able to think about what we're speaking. So it's always a good thing that for the listener and the speakers as well. Basically, boundaries. Let's go back to that, because at the end of the day, you know, if you could have a good heart, but if you don't have boundaries, you're going to be actually empowering evil ideas.
Yes.
Right? Having moral relativism is cruel. There's no right and there's no wrong. Right? Let's go to New York. You have basically people you have mercy on criminals, and you're getting out without bail right away. They do a crime, they get onto the street. Is that kind to the criminal? Maybe yes, maybe no. They're not rehabilitated, but people think they're having, very liberal ideas of how you treat criminals. It's cruel. You're hurting millions of innocent New Yorkers. People are being murdered or hurt or terrified on the streets. We lived in California, Tomer. Remember,
oh, I remember
all the homeless?
I remember
all the homeless
very
yeah,
well.
You can go to Los Angeles. People spend days and nights working very hard, and they have people sleeping on their front yard, having sometimes more rights than them.
Yeah,
that's not kindness. That's cruelty.
Yeah,
When I was younger, I used to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that you can do whatever you want with the ball. You can run up and down the court. You could push somebody. There's no outside. There's no net. There's no rules. There's no game, right? So the boundaries is what makes the game, and the boundaries is what makes society, right? So what these ideas, even though they have a nice aspect, and sometimes in places there is something to be said, right? But it's destroyed when you have no firm laws, no boundaries. Actually, I'll tell you a crazy thing. When I was in law school, they were discussing Iraq. I went to the University of Pennsylvania Law School, mm-hmm. in Philadelphia from 2004 to 2007. So this was during the George Bush days. Basically it's on how Iraq should have a constitution. And someone from a foreign culture was like, there shouldn't be Judeo-Christian. And it shouldn't be this. I said, like, what do you think? What should you have? Just make things up from nothing, right? I mean, so basically, we have a very strong tradition. You and I, Tomer, mm-hmm. many Judaism, of course, is the backbone of the morality of the Western world, right? All of the most basic: do not murder, do not steal. All of these things come from the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. People call the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, there's commandments, there's mitzvahs to be kind to the strangers, but there's boundaries to these things, right? There's boundaries to everything. Mm-hmm. So without that, you get lost. And unfortunately, we're seeing the worst evils being lauded.
Crimes against children. When you think about, with the abortion epidemic, they say 1 in 3 Gen Z, the generation right after me, a millennial,
right,
saying 1 in 3 have had abortions at this point. A third of a population.
Right, right.
We don't need immigration. They're having plenty of kids potentially.
Well, I mean, it's not just obviously abortion is a terrible sin. From a Jewish perspective, mm-hmm. Unless the mother herself is in danger, then it's actually a commandment to save her life.
Yes.
But, it's like someone running out. Basically, in that case, in Jewish law, it's like somebody coming at you with a gun, you can kill them because you can kill a person to save your own life.
Yes.
So in that case, the mother, who is the walking person, mm-hmm. is entitled to save her life. But that's the 1% of cases.
Yeah, it's few and far between. It's not this woman's health issue that they out to be. It's disgusting
Right, yes. They call it personal autonomy, woman's right, reproductive rights.
Yeah.
Just like, dying with dignity, you can murder grandpa.
Which they're doing in Canada now and across Europe.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, but all of this kind of breakdown, I would say even children being taught, they don't know if they're boys or girls. I'm saying you have, again, they're telling you could be a boy, you could be a girl. Mm-hmm. All of this comes from what they view as kindness,
mm-hmm.
but which is really cruelty.
Yeah.
So you're confusing these children. You're not giving them a sense of self. And you're actually, getting into the whole sports controversy of who's a girl. It's like you're penalizing all kinds of other people in the process. Just like if you have homeless people sleeping in your yard and you're not a homeowner in your yard, it's not kindness. If you have criminals going on the streets because you don't want them to be in jail, it's not kindness. So that's really the challenge over here. And a large part of the media, a large part of the political, and I hate to say it, a large part of the public school world, are warped and woke, and they have no real values.
I went to public school as a kid, and there's definitely not the same education that I had as a kid, without a doubt. I mean, the things that when I was a kid growing up, I remember Mr. Villa was still hitting kids with the pointer. He was the principal.
Right.
He was the principal.
Right.
So I think the more we see these things going on, here in the United States. It's only going to get worse in a way. I'm worried about the midterms because I think a lot of I think a lot of these issues are getting pushed by the side because of what's going on with Iran. And if we get a wave across America of a bunch of these DSA-type Democrats getting into office, these things are going to be back on the table at a much higher rate. Like you were saying, and also, too, it's kind of a form of theft. I mean, I'm reading an article that there's a DOJ lawsuit against California for allowing the state rules to let biological males compete in girls' high school sports to remain in place. Mm-hmm. And Gavin Newsom came out and said that, this ruling makes it clear that President Trump cannot retitle the law by fiat. And that to me, I mean, that's kind of like a crime against humanity right there. You're taken away from people's futures by getting scholarships and being able to move on and get a better education and hence a better job in life by having a biological male. What's next? A 47-year-old identifies as a 17-year-old girl and goes into their restrooms. Right. We're going to be back to that.
Right. There's no question. Again, but all of it, I think for your listeners, mm-hmm. I think what's important, what can we do about it is we have to actually spread morality and values to the world, because without that, mm-hmm. The most dangerous people are people who believe they're saving the world and are really killing the world. Like, and I, as a Jew, while they're watching the pro-Palestinian crowd, which is, besides, many people who have strong Muslim, not anything wrong with Muslims at all, but mm-hmm. talking about jihadi type views, Muslim Brotherhood world, you have many, many people, from the left and the woke left in particular, mm-hmm. who the reason they're supporting it, they don't have the foggiest idea. They don't know what Gaza is. They don't know what terrorism is. They don't know what's at stake over here. It's just that they're supporting the underdog without any understanding of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that. Down in Tucson earlier this week, there was a shooting that happened. The man had a Muslim name, went to a gay club, shot and killed two people outside. And one of the people he killed was one of these, always marching for free Palestine, wearing the keffiyeh and all that kind of stuff. And the irony is what you have to say is the same people he was kind of supporting, and their morals don't match that, he ends up getting killed in the process. We're going to come right back, or we're going to be cutting out to a break, and we'll be right back in a moment.
Choosing a new air conditioning system is one of the biggest investments you'll make in your home, and it should last 15 years or more. Don't be misled by companies that say 11 years is average. That's right around the manufacturer warranty and when it runs out. You deserve better than that. At Klein Heating and Cooling, we walk you through every step, the proper install cost, the breakdown of your new system, and a plan tailored specifically for your home and your comfort. No surprises, no added costs. Your trusted professionals. They're with you every step of the way. Visit KleinHeatingCooling.com. No job is too big or too small. From routine service to a full new installation, call Klein Heating and Cooling today at 602-377-6520. That's 602-377-6520. Or visit us online at KleinHeatingCooling.com. Klein Heating and Cooling, your comfort done right.
And welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Tomer Klein, host of The Blue Collar Jew. Today I have a special guest on who we've been interviewing, and his name is Rabbi Menachem Levine. He lives in Chicago, very close and important man in my life. And right before the break, we were talking about boundaries, we were talking about Jewish ideology, issues going on here in the world, but there's always something that can uplift us. And Rabbi, usually we like to do weekly, we do Divrei Torah within our, how would we translate that, Divrei Torah?
Divrei Torah, it's literally, Divrei literally means words of Torah inspiration, words of Torah thought.
Yes.
So.
Yes, yes. So many of these things are uplifting in this crazy world that we live in, and it can get a little overwhelming from time to time. But we always like to listen to something that can help uplift us. And Rabbi, if you want to take it away with something that's on your mind.
Yeah, I'll actually tell them, could I use you as an example? Would that work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I allowed to do that? Does your listenership know your whole story a little bit?
No, not 100%. I'm going to have a sit. Yeah. But yeah, let's put it this way.
Well, I'm going to tell one. I'll tell, listen, we go way back.
So here's
an amazing thing about your Tomer Klein. Mm-hmm. Tomer comes out of the Army. He has some struggles in life. And now, and for many years, I should say, you've been an example to so many people, an influencer for good. Your story of like having a struggle is really what we're talking about before. Like we could be look at the world and say to ourselves, "This is impossible." I remember when gay marriage passed, you know, someone said to me, "That's it. Nothing's ever going to change." And I said, "My friend, that nothing is permanent. It's always a possibility. There's always a future. As long as we have hope, mm-hmm. as long as we have dreams, as long as we believe and see a greater tomorrow, everything is possible." It's interesting that we say Psalms, Tehillim, and King David, the reason even we say Psalms is because King David, who in his youth was questioned by his family, he was abused, his father-in-law, Saul, tries to kill him, his children rebel, but yet Messiah comes from the seed of David. And the reason that Messiah, the Mashiach, comes from King David is because, besides the fact that he was a tzaddik, he was a very righteous individual, because King David's success is all in the belief of a better tomorrow. The Mashiach, the concept of Messiah, is that wherever the world is, wherever things are, it's everything is always possible. We're never, ever stuck. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to say we can't change our reality. Actually, in the Jewish calendar, in exactly 1 week from tonight, is Rosh Hashanah. It's the beginning of a new year, okay? Mm-hmm. The idea of the beginning of the year is that we're not stuck. That we're not stuck in life. And actually, the Talmud says that at the end of the year, we say, Tich l'shana uklalaseha, v'tachal shana ubirchaseha. That this year should end with all of its curses, mm-hmm. and the new year should begin with all of its blessings.
Amen.
And the question is we say that, right? We say that every year. So what is it? Every year ends with curses and every year begins with blessings. So I believe that the Talmud saying is this. We say the year should, all of the disappointments should end with this year, because next year is a new beginning. It means in life, the worst thing we can do is get stuck. We get stuck where we are. So, you know, Talmud, I said, you're an example of a person who is never stuck. And you're doing great things today. Mm-hmm. All of us have this opportunity, you know, especially if you're, you know, from the Jewish perspective, this coming Rosh Hashanah is a whole brand new year. And all your listeners should appreciate is, even though some things today look very, very challenging, or it'll seem forever, nothing's forever. The Jewish people, by the way, are the biggest example of it. Mm-hmm. Right? We are here because we're a nation of hope. The fact that there's millions of Jews in Israel after 2,000 years of exile is because we never gave up. And as long as we don't give up, we should have personal success, we should have communal success, we should have success as a country, and you know, and it all comes from a deep belief in God, mm-hmm. you know, and a deep belief in God's creation, and a deep belief in God's giving all of us a beautiful soul, which potential is always is to always do great things. So my blessing for your listeners is that, as you say in Hebrew, Shana Tovu Masuka, everyone should have a good year, a sweet year, a successful year, and God willing, the next time we talk, it should be only about good things and positive things due to all of our actions. So thank Amen. You, Tomer, for hosting me, and God bless you.
Rabbi, where can people find you at?
If they would like, you can follow me on Substack.
Okay.
Rabbi Menachem Levine, Think Torah, it's one word, or on LinkedIn,
okay.
Rabbi Menachem Levine. I have a website called thinktorah.org, which has a variety of articles, some in lectures, some are in Hebrew, some are in English. But Substack is great. Substack or LinkedIn is great as well.
Amazing. Rabbi, good Shabbos, and it's always in Shana Tova, and also it's always a good talk, as always. We'll speak next time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, Rabbi. Choosing a new HVAC system is one of the biggest investments you'll make in your home, and it should last 15 years or more. Don't be misled by companies that say 11 years is average. That's right around when the manufacturer warranty runs out. You deserve better than that. At Klein Heating and Cooling, we walk you through every step, the proper install costs, the breakdown of your new system, a plan tailored specifically for your home and your comfort. No surprises, no added cost, your trusted professionals with you every step of the way. Visit KleinHeatingCooling.com. No job is too big or too small. From routine service to a full new installation, call Klein Heating and Cooling today at 602-377-6520. That's 602-377-6520. Or visit us online at KleinHeatingCooling.com. Klein Heating and Cooling, your comfort done right. And welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Homer Klein, host of the Blue Collar Jew. That was my good friend that we just got off the phone with, Rabbi Menachem Levine. Again, you could find him on thinktorah.com. He's also on Substack, Think Torah, Rabbi Menachem Levine. And you can also find him on YouTube at Think Torah. With all that being said, positive light, positive note, world's a crazy place. I hope everybody really enjoyed that because he's a very intelligent man, very smart man. And very kind and open-minded, very very well-versed. And hope that was a good representation because there's a lot of narratives and false lies that are out there about who the Jewish people are. And he is the antithesis of what it is to be a solid Yid. But with that being said, we're jumping back into the news of the day. Right now, I think, what do we got going on right now? Trump's administration is drafting a post-war Middle East plan. I'd be very interested in what the concept was because I know last time that they were talking about doing the new Gaza initiative where they're gonna this new plan that they were gonna put into place. Again, I only question on how it'll work because we did do this back in 2007 when they emptied out Gush Katif and it turned into a place where they were using the water pipes to bomb and shoot missiles into Israel. Now, I have my fair share of criticisms of Israel. Now, many would say, well, how can you do that? It's the homeland. Yes, of course, all these things, but criticisms are the only way that we're going to move forward. And much of the criticisms that I'm going to have are also going to be directed at our side. And what do I mean? My concern is again, coming into the midterms, we really don't know what's going to happen. I say to the strong voter base, independent, Republican, and even your old school Democrats, vote Republican on this one. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say that the narratives out there coming from the right wing is it's not making a difference. Trump is just representing the old oligarch that really controlled the Republican Party and, you know, the older Democrat Party, the war hawks and these types of things. Rabbi Levine said in between one of the breaks when we were talking, he had said, you know, there's always a time and a place, and sometimes those things don't line up. I would have liked it if the war would have started after, let's say, the midterm elections, but from intelligence that we knew, whether by design or not design, however you want to chop it up, the intelligence came out that Iran had the nuclear-grade material to make a bomb that would only take weeks, days, however you want to cook it. We know they have delivery systems. They did launch out to the Diego air base out there that was 1,000 miles away. That's pretty close to striking distance in many targets there in Europe as well. And, you know, we're not always going to know what's really going on in the background. Is there an evil cabal that's maybe running the show or trying to run the show? You betcha. It's as old as time. It goes back to what we were saying in the Bible, in the Torah, what many will call also the Old Testament. This is the ways of the Satan. There's always evil that's going on behind, and it's our ways to see through the darkness and look for the light. And I hope that conversation that people heard with my rabbi would help you get into the light and see some of the light. Now, with all that being said, so the Middle East plan that Trump and them are coming out to do is working on a strategy focused on regional effort to contain Iran and expanding normalization of relations between Israel and its neighbors, according to the two U.S. officials and the other sources on knowledge on the issue. I can't really get upset with that. I think that the Israelis, there's a there's also kind of a cultural bind. You know, the narrative is, as we challenge so much here on the show, the narrative is that all these Jews come from Europe. Yes, about 35-40% of Jews in Israel can trace their lineage to Europe, just like I can. But also the other part of me can also trace to parts in the Middle East, North Africa. Not at the same size, of course, but about 65% or so, 60% of Jews in Israel are of Arab Muslim origin lands. They're not Arab Muslims, but they come from places like Libya, Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, Algeria, Iran, Iraq, like my wife's family, Yemen, like part of my wife's family. You know, I know obviously many Israelis spending a lot of time there. I go to our hometown there in Israel, and the town was, you know, when Israel became a nation, what happened is you had a lot of refugees coming from these countries. You see, a lot of these leftists, many who might even be Jewish, kind of negate that part of the history, that there was a period of time where it was safe to be Jewish in Muslim countries. It was safe to live there. But as time went on, and any kind of, you know, that was when Jews were a second-class citizen. But the moment that we started stepping up, and this is something that you can find throughout history, not just in Jewish history, the moment somebody starts stepping up and not only pushing back, but they start to prevail. And that's the story of with Israel becoming a nation again. Despite all of its flaws, it is prevailing around its neighbors. That I have to say is a positive note. There's many things I can complain about, and I'm a Jew, so we like to complain. That's what we do a lot of times. You ask me for an opinion, I'm going to give you 2 and 4 different questions after that, and then you'll be having more questions than you got answers out of the whole conversation. But many of these things that are going on now in the world, and with the lines being blurred, with right and wrong being blurred, only leads us to one thing. It's not temporary, as the Rav said earlier in the show, as the Rabbi said earlier in the show, but is leading to a light, leading to a Mashiach, something that's anointed, something that's uplifting. We don't have to talk about the, you know, the one Mashiach, the final one that comes to the world, which obviously as Jews we know hasn't happened yet. We can see the ushering in of building the third temple. We can see the ushering in of a golden age of peace, which the world has never seen before. And all this knowledge and light will be brought to the world. And at the end of the day, that's what this is really about. It's one foot in front of the other. You know, if you would have told me 10 years ago, now, I had a bad breakup with my first wife, very depressed, obviously alcohol, substance abuse, things like this, certain experiences after the military that I had, got me in trouble, really led me down a very dark path. But I remember talking with Rabbi Levine, and we ran out of time. We wanted to talk about it a little bit. I remember sitting in his office, and he said to me specifically, we're talking 10 years ago now, he sat there and he told me specifically, you have to have structure, and the most important thing is you have to have consistency. He told me that the most important thing in my life that would ever need to be done is consistency. Obviously, consistency for the good. You wake up on a certain specific time consistently. You go to shul. You go to the synagogue. We do our morning prayers consistently. Then after that, you go to work consistently. You consistently learn. I'm slacking in some of that now, just to be honest. I'm not learning like I should be. You're consistently involved in a community. These repetitions that go in day by day in your life are really truly the keys of success. And that transcends across all of us, Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter. None of this matters. The most important thing that we could do right now as we're going into troubling times or potentially times of lightness, we really don't know, only Hashem knows, is to have that consistency. So if anybody's ever needs to hear something like this, because we're all going through our ups and downs here in life, and it's only temporary. You know, everybody has a story. When you get off on the freeway, and unfortunately you see there's a lot of homeless out there nowadays, and you wonder what their story was, and you look into a person's eyes, and you think, because they're drugged out of their mind, and they're soulless, and I'm still, back to what the Rav was saying earlier, there's still going to be boundaries with this, but you look into a person's eyes, and they almost look soulless, but know that there could always be a spark that could set them off to turn their life around and go in the right direction. I've seen it. I've been part of that. and I'm sure many of the listeners have, and I'm sure many of the listeners also have family members who have crashed hard. You know, one of the people that I work with in my field, in the contracting, you know, HVAC field, he unfortunately he lost his son 3 months ago to drugs. This is a plague that is really, really destroying our nation. Now, we can go down the conspiracy rabbit hole, which is probably true, because the only difference between conspiracy now at this point, they used to say 6 months, I say 6 to 6 weeks at this rate. But the only thing that we have is we have to spark that light, just like the light was sparked when Hashem made the heaven and the earth. It all happened when he said, "Let there be light," just like there was a spark when Lexington and Concord, when the first shot was fired around the world, that was a spark. May we all have the merit to witness the spark of some kind of redemption coming on here in the United States to lift us out of this turmoil that we are starting to see. Is this spark going to come through socialism? You know, and I know, no, not at all, not even close. The only thing that could happen that could potentially save this is not a rigid form of religiosity. No. Everybody has their different levels. Just like within our world, we have different levels. You can have a rabbi who sits, he learns all day, he knows how to guide and direct people, he knows how to also run a functioning family, he also knows how to run a functioning business. I know many people like this. That tools that he has, Hashem already gave it to him. He knows, Hashem knows what he's capable of. And here in this world, we work on our shortcomings. My shortcomings are, I can get my brain all over the place like a shotgun blast, and I have to round up all those bird shot and put it back into the shell, as a good metaphor. That's something I have to work on. Maybe for a lot of us men, especially guys in the trade, you have to work on your anger. You have to work on the thing, you know, these are shortcomings. And you have to learn how sometimes everything that God throws at you, that Hashem throws at you, take it with a grain of salt, laugh at it, and adapt and overcome, like I learned when I was in the military. That's really, I think, the only way that we can ignite this spark that we are so needing as a nation. And of course, all of this comes with boundaries. This isn't talk, some left-wing talk, to throw out all the criminals because they all deserve a second chance. No, of course not. Second chances come to those who want them. But us as a people should probably also show these people, not by anger, not by hate, not by being upset across the, across racial, you know, you're seeing with this woke right mentality, you're seeing them implement, like Rav Avigdor Miller said in one of my reads that I did earlier, that he called this stuff 45 years ago. Now a lot of the conservatives of today, he says, are no different than the Democrats of 30 and 40 years ago. Boundaries are not movable. You remember back in the times of Obama that the Constitution was a living, breathing document. Just as that is bubkis, just as that is, we like to say in Hebrew, shtriyot, nonsense, so is the words of God. The foundation that you can learn from the Torah is basic, and Torah means instruction. These boundaries that we put into place will prevent us from looking like these third world bastions of non-liberty and functionality. It'll prevent us from looking like this. What I have to say about going into these midterms, and anybody who's listening, whoever wanted to get into politics, and as I'm developing my voice for radio and developing my personality for radio, is knowing these boundaries. And these boundaries are only upheld by truth. And upholding these boundaries, or and upholding that truth, will really is what's going to end up setting us free. And what's coming up here in the future, if we don't hang on to this truth, this world of lies, we won't even be able to challenge it. That's the unfortunate truth that we can see coming around the horizon. But coming up soon, in the coming months, get your family and friends out there to vote for strong conservative, valued politicians. Coming up also, if you know people that would be the correct leaders to help lead this country, encourage them to run for local elections, because it starts local and it ends national. I'm your host, Tomer Klein, host of the Blue Collar Jew. I enjoyed the show today. I hope everybody has a good week. Shavua Tov. And we'll see you on the next one.